You are listening to KAYT-FM, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1, K255-BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9 FM, K223-BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5 FM, KQJO, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi, 99.3 FM, and K261EB, Lake Charles, 100.1 FM, and online at www.kaytfm.com, the heart and soul of Central Louisiana.
All right, let's do this. 1 Corinthians 7. Grab it right quick. It's on the screens. Let's see what we can get out of this. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. I want you to get a hold of it. It's the same text I read last weekend. I'm going to read it again. Good to have all these millennials on stage with me. Love all of you. Good to see you. As soon as I read it, you can trip on it because you can feel it. And don't be wishing you were someplace else, singles, or with someone else, married people. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. God, comma, not your marital status, defines your life. That's so good. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where God has you is where he wants you. God, not your marital status, defines your life. Push somebody like you want them to fall and tell them it's better to be alone than married wrong. It's better to be alone than married wrong. You may be seated in the Lord's house. We're in the last leg of this teaching on This Church Has Gone Wild, and we're teaching now Relationships Gone Wild. Shameless plug, I'm glad to have my new book out, which we can't keep on the shelf. Praise God for that. My book people are telling me that we're sending out copies every day, literally, across the world, and we really haven't even began the big marketing push yet, and they're shipping them. So you guys know I don't use church as an infomercial. If you go here, you know I preach Jesus. But yeah, every now and then I'll drop a book, and I have to start off in my own house before I go to churches and places across the world. We'd be glad to get this in your hand today. I'm going to do a little teaching from it. But the overarching theme I have in mind is the idea that it is during the holiday seasons that people trip more on what they don't have than what they do have. Absolute fact, there are more suicides from Thanksgiving to New Year's than any other time of year. People are tripping more on what they don't have or who they don't have, watch this, or who they do have, than praising God to be alive. Life may not be perfect, but if you are breathing and saved, you ought to clap your hands and say, I'm blessed. And so it is during this time of year that I think it's apropos to touch on relationships, because here it is. You're ready for your first thing to jot down. Whatever else God is a relational God. God is a relational God. As a matter of fact, he is a relationship unto himself. You never tripped on that, have you? What does Genesis 1:26 says? Let us. You grew up on King James, make man. But really there is anthropos, or human beings, because when you see man, it bespeaks a male rather than mankind. Anthropos is the idea, let us make human beings in our own image. Now we know that we don't look just like God, because God is not a human being. God is a spirit. This is not some sort of anthropomorphic thinking, anthropomorphism, attributing human-like characteristics to God. And the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel says, like God has a hand. No, that's anthropomorphic, anthropomorphism. Attributing human-like characteristics to a divine being is an anthropomorphism. No, God is a spirit. However, what does the Bible mean then when it says, let us make man in our own image? His essence, his attributes, his kind of kindness and love. Let us make a people that look like us. By the way, I got a question for all of you. Who is the us? Because he's not talking about the angels. No, they're not a part of the creation narrative. Let us make man. Talk about God being a relationship unto himself. We know who made the world. Colossians tells us by Jesus was everything created, and by him do all things consist or stay in place. That's why I have to have Jesus in my marriage so it can stay in place. That's why I need Christ in my mind so I don't lose my mind. He holds me together. He keeps me from going postal on people or postal on myself. Jesus helps me consist, and he's holding me together. Let us make man. By the way, who is the us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How long were they here? Don't have a nervous breakdown, because how do you explain never beginning? Yeah, how do you explain never starting? My son brought all of his college students from Ashland. He's trying to change all of Ashland. He got like three churches he's starting in his dorm already. Pray for him. He got his Father's Spirit. He's starting Ashland Baptist, looks like. Amen. All the Ashland students, stand up right quick. He didn't got everybody saved on the whole campus. Y'all pray for y'all boy. He didn't brought the whole campus to church. I said, can you just pass your classes first before you start a church? Amen. But I'm paying for you to pass your classes. He down there starting churches. He got two campuses already. Pray for him. But like Father, like pray for me. It's in the DNA. But to all the Ashland students, you're smarter than me. I got a question for you. How do you explain never beginning, and how long is that? Yeah. How do you explain? Pray for me. My mind is limited. How do you mentally ascend or cognitively comprehend something that never started? All I know, babies born, great-grandma died. That's how my mind works. Stuff starts, stuff stops. That's all I know. My mind is limited in its capacity of comprehension. But God is so bad, he was in the beginning before the beginning began. Y'all not feeling me. He was in the beginning before the beginning began. So he was always there. He never began. He'll never stop. He's Omega and he's Alpha. He's the beginning and the end of the beginning. He never began. Can anybody here smarter than me explain to me how something can never have a beginning? That'll make you have a nervous breakdown. So don't try to understand it. Just walk by faith and not by sight. Let us make man in our own image. Let us make man. And then the Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper who's just right for him. Ooh, I'm going to make him a helper. By the way, Twan, the scripture never says that Adam told God he was lonely or he was in a sexual mood. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, and God said, I love that. Not Adam said, can you hook me up? Because I'm looking at this monkey. I'm getting confused. And them two kissing, I ain't got nobody to kiss. But I know, you know, she kind of cute. She's a monkey. I'm getting, you know, pray for me. I don't know. No. God said that's going to free, emancipate, and liberate those who are single. Stop thinking you're demonic or unspiritual because you feel lonely. Let me say this, or even sexual. See how I say the word sexual in church to sort of debunk the myth and the untruth and remove the stigma that God is not into sexuality. God made sex, not the devil. No, the devil perverted it. You know what the devil is? He's a copycat because he has no original ideas. So he takes sex and turns it into porn and menage a trois and cheating on your wife and same sex everything. Why? Who did that? The enemy, because he has no original ideas. He takes God's perfect stuff and manipulates it and twists it because he has nothing original. Then he makes sex taboo in church, so that even pastors don't talk about it when everybody's doing it. Two things nobody wants the preacher to talk about: sex and money, when you want both of them. touch two people, say, that man telling the truth today. Go ahead and tell them right quickly. Say, I'm feeling this. You may as well let me preach about it. You want both of them. Let me tell you how to get them both the Bible way. The Bible says it is not good that man be alone. When you are feeling sexual singles or married people, you are not demonic. You are human. It is what you do with it that becomes sin. It is when you follow up on it without being married or start to look at porn or anything pornea, of which we get pornography, pornea, sexual deviance, that becomes wrong. God looked at his boy Adam and said, you know what, player is lonely. I will make a helper for him. I will make a helper, watch this, just right for him. Not a perfect person, though Eve was perfect before sin hit. But God, single people, wants to give you the perfect person with their imperfect self who's just perfect for you. Whoever you meet gonna have some stuff, but ask God, singles, give me the perfect person for me. Give me my, y'all engaged, right? Praise God, amen, right, engaged, right? Twan and his girl, perfect for each other. Ask Twan 10 times, is she perfect for you, player? He said, yeah. The way he proposed to her was boss, too. I'll tell y'all about it later. Amen. But I want y'all to catch this, everybody. And this is so good. Perfect for her. I was looking at Lady Vernon the other day, and I promise, she was walking through the house, and we got all these pastors. Y'all pray for us. Just a couple of weeks of just ministering to pastors. I'll tell you about it later. But they're all in our home, and 50, 60 more coming this week to stay with us and be with us. And we're ministering. I was watching her minister to the ladies, and I was looking at her thinking, that girl, perfect for me. And I know some of you brothers thinking, Pastor, she is 4'1". She cannot be perfect for me. I like a tall woman. She's not perfect for you. She's perfect for me. Pastor, she got 5 kids. Yeah, but they all minds that I love. So she's perfect for me. Y'all not catching this. She perfect for me. I love her perfect imperfections. I give you all of them. I guess I'm not a legend. No pun intended. You missed that one. No, please catch this. She's perfect for me. Who has God created? And to all of you that are looking to be married, God's going to give you the person that is perfect for you. I'm believing God that God will see the person perfect for you with their imperfect selves. And whoever is married already and it feels like it's not a perfect situation, we're going to believe God that God creates a unity between you. Pastor, should I leave this brother? He not flowing with God or me. No, it may not have been God's will for you to get married, but it is his will for you to stay married. What if everybody here who felt like they bust their move too soon said, I'm out? We had this crazy divorce in church. No, the scripture says that the believing spouse sanctifieth the unbelieving spouse. We're going to praise God, Pastor, but I'm not happy right now. That's cool. Just be holy. Y'all missed that. Amen. Let's just be holy until holy turns into happy. And if you do love enough, by the way, no one person was designed to give you everything. So don't make them Jesus. I get some from my mama, some from my sister, some from these wonderful millennials. Don't think life is all about one person being everything for you. That makes them God and can't nobody. Do you like Jesus? Let's have a little church. Is there anybody here that knows Jesus, not your spouse or your children, is the best thing that ever happened to you? Watch this. And when you have an authentic relationship with Jesus, you won't need him to be too much. But if you ain't cool with God, you're going to need him to be too much, and y'all won't make it because you'll expect too much. Let Christ be your source and say, God, give me the perfect person for me. And then Genesis 1:28, he tells them, be fruitful and multiply. Wow. So two reasons for sex. Number one, it is personal enjoyment of your spouse. Secondly, it was for creating and multiplying in the earth. What does he tell Noah? Be fruitful and multiply. Second time, why? Because Noah and his crew and his sons had to replenish the earth. Remember, after the flood, be fruitful and multiply. Now y'all need to make a lot of love, have a lot of babies to replenish the earth. That was Noah's role. Adam's role before the flood was to create and have children. Why? Because men are different than women. Women's sexual organs are from within, men are from without. A man has to be aroused and turned on in order to make a child. A woman just has to be present. Okay, this is tough, but I'm right. Whole lot of you got pregnant sleep. Just letting you know. You finish. Pregnant as you can be. However, a man cannot make a child unless he is turned on. Have you ever said men are just nasty? Men are always thinking about sex. Have you ever thought about men have been given a stronger sex drive by God because we have to be turned on in order to perform? A woman just has to be present. Just letting you know why men tend to be more sexual. He's looking at everything. God put something in Adam that made him want to have sex and made him want to procreate, and that's still in us. In Genesis 2, verse 24 says, a man shall hook up with his wife and cleave to her. This explains why a man leaves his mother and father and hooks up with his wife. I want to use a lot of scripture today and biblically undergird this theological relational construct, because I want you to catch this. Now, the man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. I told you Wednesday, it is the word cleave in King James. It is dogbark. It is super glue. Those watching me downtown, look at me at every campus. Those watching across the world, this is going to save somebody's relational life, so please look at me. Cleave. I'm Vivian Vernon's oldest child. I'll be with her in sickness and in health, working with her now through some stuff that you never want to see coming and fighting through it. I'm her baby forever. I'm her oldest boy. Nothing can change that. That's my girl, Vivian Vernon, but she's not my wife. She'll tell you that. I'm cleaving to Lady Vernon. I love my babies, all five of them. I love everybody connected to me, but I put no one in front of Victory Rose Vernon. I love me some Word Church. I know people talk about me sometime and y'all get mad. Please know it's symbiotic. Talk about the members of the Word Church, I'll fool around and lose my religion. I love y'all. Y'all feed my children. I don't want any other church. As much as I love you, I can't put all my faith in you. Because I'm one mistake away from 800 of you never coming again. 20 years of trying to live right. Let me make one mistake. There's 800 people who will never come again. I know you say, not me, Pastor. 20 years of doing nothing wrong to embarrass you. Let me make one big mistake. You'd be surprised who will never come again. Oh, I knew he wasn't the truth. Yeah, I knew he wasn't the truth. One mistake. I said, 20 years of walking upright. Let me do one thing in my humanity, be surprised who never come again. So as much as I love you, I realize when these lights go out, she gonna be there. Yeah, when nobody knows my name, if I ever fall into shame, don't dog the person who gonna love you when they all walk away. Yeah, so cleave, a man shall cleave to his wife. Are y'all listening to me? Is this powerful, everybody? Somebody say, I receive this, Pastor. Yeah, I want to read what the Bible Knowledge Commentary says. When do you quote somebody? When they can say it better than you. Note that the man and woman were naked, yet they were not embarrassed or ashamed. Why? Because they had nothing which to be ashamed. They were perfect beings, completely innocent. They had nothing or had done nothing wrong. They sensed no guilt or shame whatsoever. They belonged to one another. Their bodies belonged to the other, and together they belonged to God. They stood before God and before each other in perfection, perfectly innocent and free from any sense of shame, guilt, wrong, or failure. They were perfect beings in a perfect world, being everything they should be to one another and to God. Is that good, everybody? Look at them. There is no shame. They are buck naked. They don't even know what shame is until they fall. Until they sin, they have no idea what shame is. Hear me. Sin makes you shame. I'm trying to get all millennials and those that are outsiders and teenagers and even older people my age and older to understand, when you get into sexual perversion, any straight-up Christian who's ever looked at porn or looked at something wrong when you got through a part of you, even with nobody in the room, felt shame. I'm too safe for this. Why am I looking at this mess like I'm 12 years old? What am I doing? Especially if you go too far with it or bust a move on your spouse or get into something with some cat that you're not married to and just get a feeling relieved or look at some computer stuff or on your phone. If you're a straight-up Christian, sin makes you shame. How many times have I told you, whenever you run into somebody that you slept with, there's this stupid feeling? Hey, good to see you. Praise God. 30 years later, I'm like, oh, wow, good to see you. Amen. And all the non-virgins said, two people said amen. I guess all y'all virgins. That's a beautiful thing. So I want you to understand how good this is. So now what happens? Why is there an issue here? Be fruitful and multiply. Let me pause as a parenthetical and tell all of you that's my argument for men and women being together. This is not homophobia. If you're a precious brother and sister in here from the LGBT community, hug me after service. People like what they like. They're attracted to what they are attracted to. Are you welcome here? Yes. Do I agree with anything other than a man and a woman getting together? No, I never will till I go to heaven, no matter what other churches go against it, no matter if they start locking pastors up or taking away our nonprofit status. I'll just be the first pastor in jail. I believe the 4,000-year definition of marriage, I'm not going to change. However, if you struggle with that, I'm simply suggesting to you, even the most Aston students, you're smarter than me, I want to ask you a question. With all the technology we have to this day, two people of the same sex can't produce nothing. Yeah, I don't even need my Bible to prove that God's original idea was man and woman. I don't need theology. I'll just use anthropology. Because I don't care how much you like each other, two women can never have a baby without the assistance of a man. And two men can never have a baby without the assistance of a woman. God set it up that men and women were to procreate and be husband and wife. So, Pastor, but I'm gay, I'm trans, I'm whatever. Do you love me? Yes, I love you, and Jesus loved you too. How do you explain what I'm dealing with then? It's easy. The sin factor. The sin factor. Because in Genesis 3, and this is your homework, there is the fall of man. You learned this in Sunday School 101. Those watching me across the nation, get a hold to this, because you know that in Genesis 3, there is the fall of man. Genesis 1 and 2 are the only pre-fall texts in the Bible. Pre-fall chapters, everything after Genesis 2, look at it out of the lens of sin. Genesis 1 and 2, Adam perfect, Eve perfect, the world perfect, nobody sinned, they're having sex, they're buck naked. The Bible says when they ate the fruit, first thing they did was took some leaves and covered herself because she felt shame. Sin thwarted relationships. Sin thwarted sexuality. Are you attracted to little kids with your grown self? Yeah. You think that brother said, you know what, when I grow up, I want to like little girls that's 7 and go to jail and be a pervert. Do you think he asked for that? See, people think I should hate pedophiles. I pray for pedophiles like I pray for everyone else. Do you think a brother said, when I get old, I want to be attracted not to beautiful women with beautiful bodies, just a little 7-year-old girl is what I want to like? Something's wrong with his nature. When a woman says, look, I know men are right there, but I only like women. I know as a man I should like her, but you can't tell me what to like. I only like him. I don't want that. I don't want to be looked down on and criticized by the church and people who are homophobic. I don't want that. People like what they like. Because when Adam ate of the forbidden fruit, the world fell. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the sun rise in the east and sit down in the west? Raise your hand. It's not a trick question. Have you ever seen the sun rise? Let me go slow. Everybody been off today, baby. There's something going on today. Let me try it again. Have you ever seen the sun rise in the east and sit down in the west? Raise your hand. I wish you could have seen it before it fell. Have you ever seen a beautiful flower? Raise your hand. I wish you could have seen it before it fell. Have you ever seen a beautiful moonlight? I wish you could have seen it before it fell. Everything you see has fallen. Which is why Jesus had to come. He becomes the last Adam, not the second Adam, because second Adam infers the third and fourth Adam. He is the last Adam. But the first Adam messed up. The second Adam, I messed up too. The last Adam. You see, I'm full of sin. I can't even talk right. The last Adam. The last Adam fixed what the first Adam messed up. Y'all looking at me crazy. Anybody here did a whole lot of sinning in your life, throw your hand up, then you'll love this scripture, Romans 5:20, where sin did abound. Grace did much more abound. Some of y'all still sitting there like you haven't made no mistakes. But is there anybody here like me that thanks God for amazing grace to cover all the mess you've done in your life? Somebody here ought to praise God for grace. So I don't care who you slept with. I don't care what you've done wrong. I don't care about menage a trois and porn addiction or whatever you've been through, babies through early divorce, creeping, sneaking, huffing, puffing, laying, playing. God, through his grace, has sent his son Jesus. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. The sin factor means I took the long road to my message today. Because last week I was asking myself that I biblically undergirded enough. I'm your pastor, not your buddy. And making sure you understand relationships theologically, not just pragmatically, is critical to me. So I took the long way before we get to the more practical stuff. And I'm trying to show you how God is relational, what happened, why you like nasty stuff, why divorces happen, why abuse happens, why molestation happens because of Genesis 3, we all a trip. Thank God for Jesus. But in Christ, so then why did you write this book, shameless plug, 10 Rules of Dating? Because after Adam and Eve fell from their perfect state, now relationships have been thwarted. There's a kind of relational ambiguity. So much so that in 1 Corinthians 7, they write to Paul and say, should we get married? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7:1, you wrote unto me, should a man touch a woman? People didn't know, should they get married? Should they not get married? Is sin wrong? Is sex wrong? Is marriage wrong? So I had to write a book. Why am I writing this book? I wrote this book, number one, absolutely, to bless singles across the world. Do you have any expertise? Well, I don't know. You judge. I've been married 2 decades. I've been teaching on this a quarter of a century. We built this church on my relationship teaching. People come from near and far. We can't keep DVDs on the shelf because people were asking, who has something substantive? Can I tell you the difference between my book and some of the dating experts that many of you look up to? And I'm not hating on them because they sold more books than me. But I'm saying to you, the difference between my book and their book is they don't write about Jesus. They're giving you all these principles about how to date and what men should look for in a woman and a woman should look for in a man. And all of it's not untrue, but it is incomplete. Because without Christ, the reason why I can't keep these on the shelf, and the first one honestly put my kids through school, paid off everything, because people were thirsty. Why? Because the Bible says a lot about marriage, very little about singleness, very little about dating. All the Bible says is that make sure that how can two walk together, Amos 3, except they agree. And then, of course, there's the 1 Corinthians passage. And what fellowship does light have with darkness? We're going to all of that. That's critical. But because marriages were arranged, there was not a lot of dating. No one dated. Please look up Hebraic culture. And in some places, it's in my book, marriages are still arranged. You ready for this? Marriages that are arranged tend to stay together longer than ones that weren't arranged, even across the world. In other words, remember grandma told you, now sugar, don't go out with him. He ain't right. Oh, grandma. I've been telling you for years, grandma kept her man, you didn't. Somebody wrong, amen. Grandma boss, grandma 80 years old, no teeth, and still got granddaddy Bush in the corner sleep. But he's sitting right there, 75 years. Grandma knew something. You fine as you can be. Ain't got man the first. Grandma had the Holy Spirit. Are y'all listening to me? So since marriages are not arranged, I wanted to give you some instructions. Some people don't like instructions. But the older you get, the more mature you are. You're ready. All these pastors in my house. And one of my sons said, Dad, I quote you every Sunday in my church, but my favorite quote of yours is this one. And it reminded me to say it to you. Here it is. Success in life, to a great extent, is based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. Please get a hold of that. Take a picture of it. I don't care. Because it'll change your life. This is a Vernonism. I'm going to write a book called Vernonisms. All these quotes I keep saying, we'll just write them down, let you read them. Success in life, to a great extent, is based on your willingness and ability to follow instructions. How do you know you have matured? Because you crave instruction. What does immaturity do? It hates instructions. Time for you to go to bed. Mama, why we got to go to bed? I'll be living them thinking, in about 15 years, you're going to be thanking God for your bed. You're going to be saying, can I take a nap? Can I stay in the bed all week? Can I please go to bed right now? I said, because you're young, you hate the bed. I said, wait till life hits your bus. You're going to be looking at your bed like, thank you, bed. Thank you, bed. Thank you. Thank you, man. Just thank you, man. Praise you, Lord. Listen, you're going to be just in the bed, just happy to be in the bed. Just, oh, can I just stay right here, y'all? I'm serious when I say that the more mature you get, the more you want instructions. I was thinking about my financial advisor. By the way, don't ever have a financial advisor who's not rich. Yeah. My accountant and my financial advisor are both multimillionaires. How are you going to tell me about my money, where to put it when you need my check? That's for free, amen. And my wife will tell you, since I've been 32, I'm 46. Where should I put my money now? What should I do with it? How's the market? What's going on? Yes. Should I move it from there? How's your money doing? Real simple for me. And I don't care if you're older than me. When you walk in this church, you ought to walk in saying whatever instructions he got through this word about singleness, money, the Holy Spirit, grace, peace. I'm not here to play. I could have stayed in my bed. I walked in to get some instructions, Pastor. You see, the older you get, the more you want instruction. You crave instruction. How many of you, if you could go back to when you were 13, you would follow every instruction your teacher gave you, every instruction your mama gave you? When the teacher said, now, please write this down. It's going to be on the test Monday. If you could go back, you'd be like, say it again. Wait, say it again. No, slow down. Say it again. Yeah, when mama said, now, baby, don't touch no man because you end up like your mama and have to fight through some stuff. Don't let nobody touch you till you get married. If you could go back and follow that instruction, who would do it right now? Well, God's giving you a redo, player, and I'm giving you some instructions, 10 rules about dating that 25 years, a quarter century of teaching the Bible, 20 years of marriage counseling, thousands of people writing a book that I'm still selling while the new one's coming out. I'm telling you, maybe God has given me grace to give you instructions. So in this book, I talk about several things. Why? Write this down. Because to a believer, dating is an assignment. Dating is an assignment. I want to say this again because I said it at Me, Myself, and I, and I'm coming to a city near you, by the way. The tour is coming your way. Go to our website and figure out how to get us to your city. You have to have a certain amount of seats and all that. My people would discuss that. I can't come everywhere, but the Lord told me to take this tour across the nation, and so I'm going to do it. Dating is an assignment. Say assignment. Assignment. Now, Christian dating, vis-a-vis, I said street dating at one service, but I corrected myself because it's not street dating, it's carnal dating. Because it may be a person from corporate America with a master's in business and a wonderful house and a vanilla suburb and think that they are all of that, but please catch this. If you don't have Christ, the dating is different. Let me break it down. I hope this doesn't offend you, but I didn't come to play, I come to preach. Here's straight up, real pragmatic stuff. To the average person who's dating, black, white, degree, no degree, average man who's not in Christ, or average person who's not spiritual, and they go on a date, the average man is thinking one thing. She is, ooh, I'm going to get that. Wow. Woo. So you walk up to her, and what do? You approach her. The ultimate goal for a man who's not in Christ, even if he's corporate America, black, white, is I'm going to get her in the bed. The average woman, you just can't say it out loud. Your goal is, and we're going to get in the bed. I said that. But now here's the issue. You have to act like you're a classy woman, which means you have to have a quota on how many times you have to go out before he can get that. So now you say stuff like, I don't play. But in his mind, he's thinking, is it 2 dates, 3 dates, 7 dates, shrimp, steak, how nice I got to be? What I wish everybody would do is this. Stop playing games and just talk. And say, listen, how many times I got to take you out and act nice before we do this? And then you should answer back, well, I want to act like I'm classy, so about 7 times, and call me. You should just say, listen, we can cut all that out and just order in tonight and just. Now, y'all think I'm talking crazy, but I'm not. There are women in this room who will go 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, but if he's nice enough, long enough, he's going to get it. Because that's what your mother taught you. or that's what she didn't teach you, whatever. The idea is even women with college degrees, classy, smart, there's a clock in their head. Is it the first day, second day, 10th day, 12th day? I want him as much as he wants me. I want to see how he is in the bed. The difference is, as saints, we don't touch. Straight up saints. We try not to touch. We may fall. We already had sex. We've been married before. We got 2-3 kids. We've been through some stuff. We've been hurt, wounded, pregnant, miscarriages, abortions. We've been through hell. We're not looking for the man of the month. We're looking for our husband. So that's why we need something real. I done had 6 chicks in the same day, Pastor, but now I'm not looking for the woman of the month. I'm looking for my wife. So I don't want to touch her. I'm going to be tempted to touch her, but I don't want to. So therefore, if I'm not going to touch her, now the end goal is different, which means the strategy is different. If the end goal is the bed, then I'm only doing what I got to do to get to the bed. But if the end goal is marriage, it changes my strategy. Now when I'm on a date, I'm not looking to get to the bed. I'm looking, are you the woman I can have children with? Are you the woman that can pray for me if I lose my mind? Are you the man that will lay hands on my daughter when the doctor shakes his head? Are you the man I can trust to raise a daughter you didn't make? Can I trust you to be a mother of a girl that would never call you mama, but you got to call your daughter because she got another mama? Are you selfless enough to take my past? Preach right now. I'm not looking for just some chick. I'm looking for a woman that would take on my stuff, and I take on her stuff, which means when you are a Christian from day one, minute one, date one, the investigation begins. So you don't know, brother, but you on the clock. I'm investigating you from the time you pick me up. I'm investigating what you pick me up in. I'm investigating where you take me. Girl, I'm investigating how you carry yourself. You were fine as wine, but as soon as you got in the car, you're like, hi. I was like, she's too happy for me, too happy. She's too happy. That's too happy. I can't be that happy every day. She way too happy. Since you're videoing, Twine, how you doing, Twine? Praise God, amen. She way too happy. She way too happy. And so we go on the first date, and we're sitting there, and I'm thinking, you have no spiritual substance. Yeah, you're not mentally quick enough to stay with me. So already I'm thinking about, how do I end this with dignity? So I'm going to drop you off and say, this has been a wonderful time. I'm a Christian. I don't sense a divine connection. But thank you so much for even giving me some time tonight. And should I walk to the door or anything else? Now, she may feel a little bad that day, but she'll appreciate you for not playing with her. Is that good? Is that good, Mike? I'm telling you, man, that's the truth. So I want y'all to catch this. Is this good? So we in teen church. So rule number one is there must be physical attraction. To every man here, I'm not coming off of what I taught. There must be physical attraction. Don't marry me and commit adultery and watch pornography because you're not attracted to me. Get what you like. If I'm not tall enough, thick enough, small enough, don't get me. Get what you like. Whatever you would Google on your wrong day, marry that. But rule number two, they must love Jesus. I don't want to minimize that. They must love Jesus. Don't leave that precious Palestinian Jew named Jesus out of your dating equation. You're going to regret it. I'm finished. Y'all tired of me. Well, I'm tired of y'all. Either way, I got to stop. Praise God. That's the most services, but y'all look at me, and I'm finished right here. I mean it. Don't leave Jesus out. Don't leave Jesus out. So yesterday I went to teen church, and pastors have been in my home all week, and they're coming this week because God told me to minister to the kings. Who are the kings? These guys got 2,000 and 3,000 members on national television. So my wife and I said, we're going to bring them and their spouses to our house because when the king fall, the whole city fall. If he creeps on her, it'll be all over the internet, the whole city, bruhs from prison. I ain't going to church. All these preachers phony. Church ain't right. So we try to minister to them. Got 50, 60 more coming this week. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm teaching y'all pastor's assignment is to help pastors stay sane because women and money can mess you up. and female pastors too. So I say all that to say it's been a long week, and 60, 70 more. Honestly, I got to get the count. I'm coming this week. So we're from parishioners to pastors, loving our parishioners, loving our pastors, and we're working hard like crazy. And yesterday, all my sons said, "Dad, I know you ain't going to church today after we've been here all week." I said, "Yes, I am. I'm going to teen church and talk about this book. I know they can't buy it, but I want them to get the principles in it. So I'm talking about dating, and I'm talking about marriage. And by the way, bring your child every Saturday at 3 right here next door. Don't complain if you don't bring them, because it takes a village to raise a child. And so bring them every Saturday at 3. And I'm telling you, we're doing this panel, and the panel discussion was about marriage and dating. And I asked the question, I said, how many of you grew up in a house where you love marriage and couldn't wait to get married based on what you saw? Out of about 300 teens, 2 raised a hand. Let me say that again, about 2 raised a hand out of 300. And you wonder why I wrote this? Yeah, you wonder why I'm teaching on it? Because marriage is playing out with our young people. And then I said, now, when it comes to dating, who believes when you date that the person has to be a Christian? A lot of them raised their hand. I said, who believes that? So we had mics in the aisle, if you disagree with me, and some bras in the back heard what I said about she must be a Christian. I said, so no matter how fine she is, who agrees she needs to love Jesus or you don't want to go with her? These brothers go, I said, come on up, please. He said, hey, bro, no, man, no. Because see, this is what I'm trying to say. If her spirit is hooking up with my spirit, you know, her religion may not be my religion, you know me, but if she got wonderful spirit, you know, and she, you know, Jesus is a beautiful thing, but if she ain't got Jesus, but she got spirit, you know what I mean? And I got spirit, and we feel, you know, God can do a lot of different things. I said, oh, wow, okay, good. So I let the brother talk, good enough, Jason. I let him talk. When he got finished, I said, are you done, player? I said, now I got one question for you. So she doesn't need to have any moral authority above her or a higher being she's accountable to. So you're just saying, as long as she like you, she doesn't need a higher accountability of something bigger than y'all. I got one question. When she feeling sexual and you not there, what's going to stop her from creeping on you? I said, if your mama gets sick, is she the type that would pray for her when you not there? Can you trust her to stay with you if you lose everything? And say, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder? What can you trust if she doesn't fear God? What makes you trust her? He said, you're right, player. You're right, player. Are y'all listening to me? I'm a leave this alone when I say this to y'all. Here's a scripture one more time, and I'm leaving you alone. Next scripture, I want them to see this, because the two shall become... Next scripture, really quickly, because I want them to see this. Because the brother said to me, who cares about Jesus? Now, you all grew up on be not unequally yoked. Here's the Message version. Don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make a partnership out of right and wrong? That's not partnership. That's war. Is light best friends with dark? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Does trust and mistrust hold hands? Ooh. He says, if I love God and my wife don't, that's not partnership, that's war. And because it's at home, it's civil war. I got women here who come up to me saying, I want to tithe, but I got a sneaking tithe because he don't want me to. And I know tithing gonna get us out of debt, but he hate for me to tithe at church because he think all churches and preachers are wrong. I done married some brother don't believe in God, church, or pastor, so I got to sneak and tithe. That's war. Yeah, I want to read the Bible. You want to watch mess. I want to stay home. You want to go get high. You want to go to the club. I want to go to church. That's the kind of war. Now here we are trying to stroll and hold hands. No, all of you single people don't marry nobody who don't love Jesus more than they love you. Next verse. Watch this. I will make a helper who's just right for him. My last scripture, and I'll bid you goodbye. I will make a helper. Say helper. Helper. Say helper. Helper. I want to read something to you that just blessed my heart, and then I promise I'm going to pray and show you something, because wonderful commentary said, Bible knowledge commentary says, God decided to make a helper suitable. Listen to this, and then let's go home. Corresponding to the man. Helper is not a demeaning term. It's often used in scripture to describe God Almighty. The description of her as corresponding to him means basically that what was said about him in Genesis 2:7 was also true of her. They both had the same nature, but what Adam lacked, Eve supplied. And what Eve lacked, Adam supplied. This is going to mess you up. The same word for helper is the same word God uses for himself. So if you marry the right woman, she can be like God to you. She's not God, but she can bless you like God blesses you. He says, I'm going to make you a helper, somebody that will do for you what I do for you. If you marry the right sister, she'll birth you out. She'll take you to the next level. I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about spirituality. Marry a woman that can help you. Help you. Helper there is not, I ain't nobody's helper. That's not what the Bible means. I'm more than a helper. I got more degree than you. No. Helper means you married the right woman. I was thinking as I walked through the house this week and next week when they all come, these first ladies got 2,000-3,000 members, some flying on private planes, all that kind of stuff. And Lady Bird is sitting on the couch teaching all these women and they sitting there with their legs crossed Indian style looking up at their spiritual mama. I came by, looked through the kitchen. I thought to myself, go on, help me, girl. I said, I got the right one. When I see all you women line up to the door and men to hug her every week, I'm thinking, what if I had a diva chick? What if I had somebody that women couldn't feel? And if a woman don't feel you, she's not coming to you. If a woman don't feel you sincere, she ain't studying you. She will go to that car, listen to me preach, and walk out the door. The fact that women come to her and want to touch her means God gave me the right woman to make me what I am. And you might be a plumber, brother. You may be a truck driver. You may be a lawyer. But find you a sister that takes you to the next level. Don't marry somebody who's sexy with no substance. Well, give God some praise and stand on y'all feet. Don't walk. Don't walk. Stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Nobody's walking. Not one person. Those watching by TV, not one person's watching. Not one person's walking. I'm giving y'all this, and I'm finished. Downtown at the campuses, I want to tell y'all this final story, and I'm gone. Rule 10, no one's walking, is don't touch. Don't touch. People keep asking, can we kiss? I don't know how to kiss with my hands in my pocket. Yeah, you 50 years old, you ain't gonna stop at kissing. You got grandchildren. Talking about, let's just kiss. You 47, brother. What you talking about? We 49. Great story about don't touch. And not because you don't want to touch. God made you sexual, remember? But because you honor God so much. So this is in my first book, and most of you know it, but thousands of people watching for the first time. I hate to give the end of the book away, but I close the second book the same way I closed the first, with the story about Elder Coleman and Rachel, who go right here. They were at the first service today. Elder Coleman, Antonio Coleman, came up to me at our Maple Church and said, there's this girl named Rachel. She is beautiful, Pastor. Rachel's as cute as she can be. And he said, man, I'm going to marry her. I've been liking Rachel since high school. She's my wife. God told me. He's a former Muslim. He works out. You all know him. He trains people here. He eats right. And our Muslim brothers and sisters have a kind of discipline that cannot be denied. And that discipline he brought to the Christian faith. He said, I like Rachel, and I'm not going to touch her till I marry her. I said, I believe that. He said, I don't think you hear me. I ain't just talking about sex. I'm not going to kiss her. I said, really? I said, well, you'll be the first, player. He said, I'm telling you, Pastor. And Rachel's cute, all that. 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. Finally, I would ask him every Sunday, have you kissed her? No way, not going to kiss her. Tough, Pastor, but I'm not going to touch her till I marry her. I've made a lot of mistakes with women, but this is not going to be one. This is my wife. So we get to the wedding day, and that's when I used to do more of the weddings than I can do now. Not because I don't want to, just thousands of people. If I did every wedding and funeral, I'd have to live here. But that's when I did the majority of them. And I did the wedding that day. He said, Pastor, we're going to do something different. I'm going to let Rachel, the bride, come in first. And then I'm going to come in second because I want to be Jesus coming to get his bride. So he comes in the office with me. He comes in the office. Because my office, some of you remember, was on the stage back then, so you could look out my office and see what was happening in the sanctuary. He wanted to see Rachel walk down. He was looking at her. When she got close to the front, you know, he's a track star too. He bust out the side though, ran up the parking lot, and came walking down the middle aisle, that long Maple Heights aisle. Y'all remember that church? That long aisle. He come walking to her. And she's standing there, and I'm standing there waiting next to Rachel for him to get there. And the anointing was so thick, I couldn't hardly stand up. I haven't did a wedding before or since like that one. And they get to the altar, and I'm doing everything I can not to lose composure. I'm an experienced pastor about to lose it because the anointing had me shaking. I'm trying to get through it. Finally, I get to the end of it. I said, now by the authority invested in me by the state of Ohio, and most of all by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I now pronounce you husband and wife. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Antonio, for the first time, you may kiss your bride. When he lifted up Rachel's veil, oh, kandarabo shaken abasahakashama. Oh, when he lifted up her veil, some of y'all brothers think I'm corny, but I was there. When he lifted up her veil, I felt God so strong. I couldn't hardly stand there another second as he kissed her. And neither one of them were virgins when they met, but they had a virgin relationship. And God told me to tell you, whatever you've been through, if you do the next thing right, he's putting your past behind you. Hey, bring my boys right quick. Real quick, bring my boys, bring my boys, bring my boys. Bring my boys, quick, 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 bring, quick, quick, quick. Bring my boys, bring my boys, bring my boys, bring my boys. And it's on the screen, those watching in the overflow, those downtown. The Lord gave me something called routine. Come on, give me those swine. Y'all come on down with me. You go on that side. Give me one swine. It's called routine. And I want every single person that will make a decision that the next person touch you, gonna marry you, to wear this bracelet. And when you're on a date or when you're tempted, you can look down and see routine. Don't touch, don't touch. When he's smelling good, when his breath smell nice, when he's talking all that mess, routine. When she's swishing in front of you, when she walk past you, routine. And I'm asking you to do something that most churches would be too crazy to do. And I don't care if you're 40, 50, but particularly young people, if you got a teenager in church today, and Ashland students, if you're ready, Ray, you brought your crew. I don't know if they're ready. We won't force them. It's between you and God. But if you want to make this commitment, to sign this commitment board, here's at least what it says. I'm going to try my best not to let nobody touch me till they marry me. I'm 35 and I'm signing, Pastor. I'm divorced and I'm signing. I'm a millennial. I'm a teenager. Matter of fact, if you're crazy enough to come walking down right now, come walking down downtown. Come walking down. Come walking down. God bless you. They're coming with the rest. God bless you, downtown. Come on. Come on. Hey, give them one. Give them all one. Give them one. Oh! If you're walking across the world, look at them. Look at them. Body, go fast. Go fast. Go fast. Go fast. Go fast. Come on. All y'all get in. Come on up. Line. Come on in, slide anywhere, slide anywhere.
And all I want to say till my die. is perfect. It's what you gave for all the world to see. Now no one can
undo,
'cause I belong
to you
until the end
of time.
Good to know
you're
and all I want,
till
my
die.
I just wanna be close to you.
Come on, Stacy, follow me.
Da-da.
You say.
Da-da.
Sitting Services is a personal care attendant agency. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for the past 25 years. We are locally owned and locally operated. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion through our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you. Kelly is an equal opportunity employer. You can reach us by calling 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. Or you can visit us at our website located at kellyservicehouston.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT.
Let's get this started.
KAYT. KQGOMM.
Your number one music station.
These are the hits.